Blog Talk Radio.
Unwrap. Hidden Beach. What?
Well, good evening, my brothers and my sisters, and welcome once again to the PRF table. We are just excited that you are taking the time out of your schedule to join with us, and we just want to let everybody know that tonight is the anniversary special, anniversary show of the PRF table. So it was a year ago yesterday, which would have been December the 4th, that we first started the PRF table. So Brother Feaster and Sister Sanders and myself and all of you who have listened and all of the guests that we have had, we just wanted to say thank you to everybody. As of yesterday, we had over 17,000 listeners that have listened to the shows on the PRF table. So we truly thank God for that, because there are a lot of churches that have not had 17,000 folks walk into their door. So we thank God for the opportunity. We thank God for all of you who listen. And we're just going to get into tonight's show, and hopefully over the rest of the month, what we'll be able to do is really just speak out and give some special thanks to some of our guests, some of our faithful listeners, because, again, without you, there would be no us. So with that, let me just go to the other host of the show. Let's go age before beauty. So, Brother Feaster, how you doing this evening, my brother? Welcome back to the show.
Well, praise God, glad to be here. Just want you to know I fall in both categories of being age and beauty, so you don't always have to go to me on that one first, but glad to be here.
Praise God, we're grateful for you. And Sister Sanders, my cousin, how you doing this evening?
I am doing good, and I'm glad to be here. I will be honest, if I can be honest just for a little bit. I'm tired today because today was my first day hitting the gym after the holiday break, and the little lady at body pump class broke me off. But I feel good, but I'm tired. So, you know, it's like when you work out, you know, you exerting a lot of energy. So I know I'll sleep good tonight, but, yeah, she broke me off today, reminded me of my moments and days with Feaster back at Fort Bragg. Bless God. Nobody got to say nothing. Amen, light.
Well, you know, I can tell you I'm still suffering a little bit. I tried something a couple of weeks ago, and I'm still kind of dealing with that on my end. So it's all good. You know, exercise is something that our body needs, and we have to make sure we keep our bodies the way that we need to so that we can continue to do the work that God has called us to do. So tonight, on tonight's show, what are we talking about tonight? Tonight we're talking about gift-giving ideas. That's the topic of tonight's show. And let me just tell you where we are. This came from 2 weeks ago when we had our last show, which was Holiday Spending Tips. So this is really a continuation of that, because we're in a time where people are spending a lot of money. And if you've listened to that show, you realize that there was a lot of people that had a lot of ideas and a lot of good points. So we want to be able to continue that conversation, because Black Friday is over. And if you were there with us, we focused a lot on Black Friday on the last show. And I had some statistics that I was trying to find and see how well did Black Friday go this year, because the statistics that I brought to everybody was for 2012. And later on the show, I'll probably bring some of those out. But what we want to do tonight is just really just give some ideas about gift giving. As we said on the last show, there's a lot of people who give gifts out of different reasons. And we want to be respectful of why people decide that they want to give gifts. So we're going to talk about some different types of gifts that are out there, short-term gifts, long-term gifts, and see where it goes from there. So with that, let's just go ahead and get into the show. One of the things that I thought about, Brother Feaster and Sister Sanders, was to pose to the audience, you know, some questions. And if one of you can post these to the Facebook page, Possessions, That Resource, and Finances, we appreciate it. These are the questions that I want people to think about and hopefully come in and talk to us about on the show today. What did you get last year for Christmas? Where is it? And I hear you laughing, Sister Sanders. And when was the last time you used it? And then I'll even throw another one in there. What do you want this year as far as a gift? So let me start off. Last year, I received one of those video games, and I didn't get like a PS3 or a PS4, but it was one of those game consoles that had all the games built into this one little device, and then you plug it into a, plug the cord into the TV, and on this game, it had Super Mario Brothers, it had Centipede, it had Pac-Man, it had all those old school games, and I was playing my game for, when I got it, I played it for a long time during the Christmas holiday, because I had some time off, and then over the Thanksgiving holiday we just passed, I looked at it because it sits up under the TV, and I said, let me play this. And I took some time, and I was playing it. I played it for probably about an hour or so. And I realized that I've had this thing for almost a year, and I still get the same joy out of it when I first opened or unwrapped it back on December 5th, 25th of last year. So what do y'all say? What's your thoughts on the type of gifts that you got last year? Do you have anything that you remember? Can you answer those questions, Brother Feaster?
Well, you actually made it easy for me. Last year, I actually received nothing for Christmas last year. And so that means I use mine every day. So that makes it easy for me. But no, as my children get older in Christmas, my wife and I, we really don't make a big deal about getting any presents. And last year was one of the years I didn't get anything, and I was not upset, not distraught or anything. We do something different in our house. I mean, around October, our children give us a list of what they want for Christmas, and that's how we do it, because okay. We are focused more on we celebrate the birth of Jesus Christ, a day of remembrance of Jesus being born, our Savior being born. That's what we do. So we're not so caught up in the gift giving. Yes, we give gifts, but that's not the sole purpose. 90% to 95% of the gifts that are under the tree, our children already know. And ironically, I say that too because we've kept those gifts in the same spot every year in the house. And my daughter kind of made mention last year or year before last, she knew where they were. And then I had explained to her, it wasn't about the gift giving. I mean, it wasn't about the gift. It was more of the gift giving and the family time. So I received nothing last year, and I use my nothing as much as I can. Does that answer all the questions there, JR?
Boy, crazy. Go ahead, Adia. That boy's crazy.
I don't remember what I got last year. I've been thinking about this for a couple of days now, and I still can't remember.
This is what I thought about. You know, I think a lot of people oftentimes don't remember the things that they got last year. I may not have remembered that I received that video game as a gift last year, except for it was up under the TV. But I know I received other gifts other than that. But because it was out there in my face, that's the only reason why I said, oh, this is what I got. And one of the things that I was thinking about was, let's talk about gift giving, this whole process of gift giving. And from the notion of short-term and long-term gifts. So, for example, the gift that I received, this video game, if you go onto the Facebook page, you'll see I posted my high score of Super Mario Brothers. I mean, not Super Mario Brothers, of Mario Brothers, like 200-something thousand, so I was kind of happy at that. I think about if I can remember how happy I felt with the gift, then that speaks to me of more of a long-term effect. If 2-3 years down the road, I can remember, you know what, my wife brought me this or my children brought me this, and I can still see it and I still have it. I think a lot of what the Christmas holiday brings is gift-giving, and I'm free for anybody to challenge me on this if you wish. But I think a lot of the gifts that so many people give and also receive are short-term gifts. I hear parents talking about toys to their children and buying toys for their children, and I'm guilty of it too. Our children are much older now, almost adults. But I know I was in that same mindset of buying gifts for the child that in 4 months they have no idea where that gift is. They don't care to play with it. It's not of interest to them anymore. And so I'm thinking, y'all, So what's the purpose? Was I buying those gifts because that's what I thought I had to do to show my love for my children? I know somebody that has purchased a lot of gifts for a baby. And I never understood this, and I didn't get into this mindset, but how can you buy tennis shoes for a one-month-old and think that you're doing something for Christmas for that child?
I know that's right.
What's the purpose? And I'm not, and again, I'm not saying that that is a right or a wrong thing. I really want us to help people to think about their style of gift giving and what are the short-term and long-term effects that it's going to have on the person receiving the gift. So I'll come back to you, Adia, because I know you had some things that you had picked out from some articles that may be able to help us talk about this topic a little bit.
Let's see where I want to start at. I was just going to, I feel like I was just like, ooh, I don't know where my brain was at. I was reading a couple of articles, and one of them was entitled "The Resist the Urge to Splurge." And just two things that I just wanted to highlight was in gift-giving ideas, I know sometimes when we look at the different sales and things that are going on, we tend to, I don't know, for some reason bring stuff back to us. And I'm not saying everybody is like that, but based off this article that I was reading, holiday season, things are on sale, and it's the opportunity to buy stuff that you probably wouldn't be able to buy throughout the year or not thinking about buying, but it's on sale. So one of the things it had was phone a friend. When in doubt, snap a selfie photo when you're trying a new outfit and text it to a friend. If he or she comes back with a thumbs down, you have your answer. So there are things that you can do to put in place, you know, when we're talking about gift ideas, check the store's return policies because many boutiques or independent stores only offer store credit for return items, and we have stores like that now, you know, if you go in there, and not just always independent stores, but even some of our chain stores have certain policies to where if you buy, they will only do an exchange or you only have a certain amount of time. It's very limited. So if you fall outside of that window, you're pretty much stuck with this gift or item that you purchased that you are only going to be able to go right back to that same store and still have to pick something that you may not necessarily want or you just may want your money back. So to keep from wasting or spending money unnecessarily and not being able to get it back, I just think it's very wise to check the policies, lean on your friends that are going to be honest with you when it comes to gift ideas. I definitely like what you said earlier, Nate, about just, you know, when we buy gifts for people, think about that gift that you're going to get that person. Are they going to use it? Are they even going to remember that they got it? Is it still being used today, a year later, or is it something that they can use 5 years down the line or just at least going to enjoy what they got? The other one that I was reading was just for another good gift idea. They have gift cards, and they have, websites that have gift card clearance websites that you can go and buy gift cards for people. People like to eat. They have gift cards for pretty much everything, Barnes & Noble, Spa Finder, Starbucks. So I think when it comes to just good gift ideas, I just think that we definitely need to take into consideration, is the person going to use that gift? Are they even, you know, do we want to give a practical gift? I was telling Nate earlier today, my husband liked to buy me perfume. I don't need another bottle of perfume. So I know for Christmas, birthday, Mother's Day, just because, I'm not going to get a bottle of perfume because I have enough bottles to last me literally like for the next 5 years. You know, I can just pick one and go with it. So I don't buy me perfumes because I have enough. Another article, and well, in the same article that I was reading, and I thought it was kind of hilarious, but these are military spouses that are saying, this lady actually said she adopted the one for you, one for me mantra when she was shopping during the holidays. Mm. And what that means is that, hey, I bought my brother an iPod, but I need to buy me one too. When we're thinking about good gift ideas, we definitely need to, the focus needs to be on what is the real intent for buying a gift for the person. If it's truly because you know that they're going to enjoy it, and in your heart this is what you really want to do, and you are a giver, then there's no need for you to spend, because iPods still cost $200 and something. There's no need for you to buy one for that person and spend $200 and something to buy one for you, even if you don't have it. If you hadn't thought about buying one before, don't buy it now. You know, I think sometimes we get away from the purpose or the reason why we're buying a gift for people. And, you know, it is definitely always going to be about Jesus. But for some people, it's not. But if the gift is really to for that person to use, then you definitely don't need to think about yourself. I just think that that's very important to keep in mind as, you know, as people continue to buy, to go shopping. And the other thing that I did want to bring up was for my gift for Christmas last year, I don't think I got anything, which doesn't bother me. And I was like, I couldn't even remember what I got, but I asked my husband, and he was just like, I don't remember. So I'm like, I couldn't have gotten anything if nobody remembers. Even I don't remember. I can remember what I got for Mother's Day, but not Christmas. But my daughter made me the prettiest colored plaque where her hand, where she had her hand mold in it, and it had all of these beautiful stones that went around it. And I went to the store and brought the little plaque holder for it to go in, and I had it in my kitchen. So every time I walked in my kitchen, which was every single day, I would see that plaque. And so that was, and I cried. I cried last Christmas because that was the best gift that I had ever gotten besides my Teddy Rock when I was 9 years old. That gift right there that my daughter made for me at school with her handprint was the best gift that I've ever received for Christmas. And it was free.
And that's what we're talking about. You know, we're talking about, you know, what is it that really does something for your heart? What is it that when you look at it, it brings tears to your eyes, you know, when you received it? I can tell you, I love to go out and eat. I welcome gifts of all monetary amounts. In the government, you know, there's a dollar limit of what you can buy for a person inside of the government. So, you know, you can't go buy, you know, a coworker, $100 gift. You know, you can have things like that. So the $10 gift cards are good, but I'm not going to cry when I get the $10 gift card. We do have a caller that's jumped on the line. Last four, 4961. Welcome to the PRF table.
Hello, it's me.
Hey, you. Who are you?
Hey, Warren.
Hello. How are you? Good to see you and hear you again.
Hey, JR. Hey,
how you doing?
I'm fabulous. I was listening to Adia, and it brought back a memory of mine, the best gift I've ever received. You know, we all have these smartphones now, and throughout the year, my daughter had been taking pictures of us and me and just periodically taking pictures, and I'm sure she didn't even think of why she was doing it. She just enjoyed her phone, but when Christmas came, she put all those pictures together and made me a collage. And she sent it to me via my Facebook page, and I thought it was so beautiful, I actually cried. That was the best gift I've ever gotten. And I agree with Adia, you know, gifts from the heart mean so much more than monetary or material gifts.
You know, it's amazing that what both of you just said, both of you, the gifts that were so important to both of you were gifts that you received from your daughter, from your children, and I think that is so important. You know, let me get, I don't know if this is a tip, but I'll just say it. You know, one of the things I think is important, and this is an idea for me about gift giving, is maybe, you know, this will help somebody. Wait until after the Christmas sale. I think a lot of time, I think this statement is going to go to a previous show as well. Sometimes people think that they have to do something for somebody because it's Christmas time. And I remember growing up that sometimes my mom didn't have the money to buy me a whole bunch of gifts. And I remember maybe once or twice or maybe three times, but she would say to me, and I was young, you know, like 12 years old, you know, 11 years old, that we had to wait until after Christmas. I didn't know at the age of 11 or 12 that the reason why was really because she didn't have it. I didn't know all that. I didn't know what was going on, why she couldn't. And as a child, the only thing that, I mean, let's be real. What do you think I was thinking about? Man, when I go back to school, I'm not going to be able to brag about all the stuff that I got during Christmas time. I'm not going to have a whole bunch of brand new clothes starting off. But one thing I think that it did for me is it helped me to understand that there's a priority there. Yeah, my feelings probably was hurt as a child that I wasn't able to get a bunch of stuff, but I did receive things afterwards. And then she didn't go into a bunch of debt trying to get me things just so I can say that I had those things. And so for me, that is a very, very important thing that I think a lot of people out here, even let's go back to what we talked about on the last show. Somebody said that there was somebody up towards the Thanksgiving time frame that had all of their money spent because they went shopping or something. I think it was Paul that said that. You know, yeah. When we hear things like that about people making certain choices because they feel that they have to give a gift versus being real with the child and saying, hey, you know, mommy don't have it right now. Daddy don't have it right now. I'm expecting some money after the first of the year, so I'll be able to do something better, because that's a thing of responsibility. Brother Feaster, I'm coming to you next. You talk about stewardship all the time. That falls in line with what you feel so strong about is stewardship, because don't take the resources that you have and mess them up trying to follow this tradition, which has nothing to do with Jesus, just so for the sake of saying that you have something. What do you say?
And it's so funny that you started off there, well, you ended there, because that's exactly where I was going to start, talking about stewardship. As you already said, that is a passion of mine. It is a major passion of mine about stewardship. And you struck a nerve in me earlier, and I want to go back a little bit before I go forward. You struck a nerve in me earlier when you mentioned something about a lot of times we purchase gifts for the short term versus the long term. Now, I might open up a can of worms here, and I think I'm known for doing that. But the thing that I see here, huh?
I said, what's new, right?
I know, right? I open up a can of worms, we go fishing. That's what I'm going to do with the worms we do this time. But anyway, the thing that I see is if we look at the commercial side of the holiday, I mean, let's not deny the fact that the commercial side of the holiday is really rampant and really driving a lot of society. But if we look at the commercial side of the holiday, a lot of the gifts that are being glamorized on these commercials at these department stores and the malls and these different places are short-term gifts. In their aspect, hey, take advantage of the season of giving. You're giving, they want to receive. So they're giving those short-term gifts, which is not one of the reasons, but it just kind of goes in line with how we celebrate Christmas and gift giving in my house, in our house, that me and my wife decided years ago when my daughter was born. We focus more on this is the season that we celebrate the birth of Jesus Christ. So, yes, there is gift giving, but like I said, they give us a list in October. So 90% of the stuff under the tree, they already know what it is. We start off with a prayer before we open the first present. Mm-hmm. You know? Now, you made mention of how your mom had to sacrifice and she still couldn't get presents for y'all every Christmas. And then you had to go to school, and now everybody else is bragging. Because of the way the society has this season, it puts me in that position to where now, after I come in off Christmas break, I got to wear my new clothes. Mm-hmm. I got to talk about my new toy. As a whole, we've forgotten what the season is about, and we've gotten caught up into the glamour of it. And that's why I believe a lot of the gifts that are being purchased are short-term. You know, and then you struck another nerve with me on the same thing. I don't mean nerve. you struck another thought in me when you said that, because then I started thinking, why not take advantage of these sales, these specials, for the long-term stuff?
Mm-hmm.
We spend a lot of time on the short-term gifts. These toys is going to – and a lot of these toys that come out this time of year barely last through the winter. They barely last. So why not take the opportunity to get some of that long-term stuff that you can take advantage of the sales and the specials and the deals that are going on and buy those long-term gifts? And then when Adia got on, she started talking about the different ways you'd give and the gift cards and stuff like that. My wife did something this Thanksgiving, which I am very passionate about this, and I have no idea why I don't act on it a lot more. And it just overjoyed my heart when we did this. It was only three of us in the house. And my wife cooks food, because they were there for the whole weekend, so my wife cooks food for all 4 days. And I told her I'm leaving that Sunday after Thanksgiving to go to another location for 2 weeks. So all this food's going to get thrown away if we don't eat it. And she said she was looking on Facebook, and somebody said, instead of throwing away all that extra food that you have, won't you just go and give it to the needy? Give it to the homeless. And so out of the blue, and I didn't know she read this until later on that day, out of the blue she said, we're going to fix two plates and go find some homeless people and give them a plate of food. And if you've been on the show a while, you'll remember when I said a couple of months ago, I think when we were talking about stewardship, that the homeless population in Fayetteville, North Carolina, is like 12%. So she was like, so where are the homeless? I said, baby, they're all around. We ain't got to go far. And we went, you know, downtown, and we handed out two plates. Now, I'm going to be truthful here. I loaded them plates up because I didn't want to throw that food away. Them plates were heavy. But I did that for two reasons. It was a selfish reason because I didn't want to throw it away. But the other reason was I wanted to make sure that this food went to good use. So I said all that to say, sorry to be so long-winded about it, sorry. I said all that to say is one of the gifts that we can do this year is do some type of volunteer work, some type of charity work, something that's going to last a lot longer than, you know, the clothes that you purchase, the gifts that you purchase, they're going to last, and a lot of them are going to fade before these kids go back to school. But the feeling that you're going to get from volunteering, for doing some type of charity work, is going to last, if not a lifetime, definitely a half a lifetime. You know, those are things that we can do during this holiday season that's going to mean so much, not only to you and yours, but just think about you sitting at your dinner table in your nice warm house, eating your food, wrapping paper all over the place. You got a nice pretty tree in there, and everybody's laughing and joking. But in my case, about 10 miles down the street, there's a man, there's a woman, there's a couple there that it's 40 degrees outside, and they're trying to find what they got to do during the day because the homeless shelter kicks them out during the day. And if we're saying that 'tis the season to be jolly, if we're saying season's greeting, and this is the joyous time of the year, why are we omitting people that can benefit from the stuff that we throw away? I say this simply because a lot of stuff that we can give during this season is not, and this is, you know, we talked about stewardship and sacrifice, but I'm not even talking about sacrifice right now. Because a lot of stuff that we're going to purchase for that coworker that we don't like, but I pulled his or her name, a lot of stuff that we're going to get for mom, which I ain't talked to in about 15, 20 years, or my dad who, man, the last time I talked to him, he cussed me out. A lot of stuff that we're going to do for these people that's not even going to appreciate what we're doing, why not do what the season said and give to the people that will appreciate the stuff that we're going to throw away? What they say, one man's treasures, another man's treasures. And so I just want to say, and I say that because it made me feel so good to drive around, and we were driving around this traffic circle, and this guy was sitting there on a traffic circle, and we pulled up, And we asked him, do you have a meal? He said, yeah. He said, well, we would just want to give meals. And the guy said, well, I've seen y'all already. He said, but I'll take another plate. And we gave him the plate. And he was sitting there, and he just looked so happy to be sitting there eating. I mean, I don't know what they eat on a regular basis, but I know what he got from what my wife cooked. So I don't know what he was eating the other people gave him, but I know he got some good tasting food in the plate that I gave him. And so I say all that to say, you know, it didn't even take an hour. It took about 15 minutes. And then we rolled around for about 20 minutes, 30, 45 minutes. It didn't take much time out of our day. This really was not sacrifice. And I talked about sacrifice a lot when we talked about stewardship, but this was not sacrifice. The food was already prepared. The food was going to get thrown away. The only thing I had to do was go buy some plastic fork, knife, and spoon. That was it. 99 cents. 99 cents. My family and I love to get in the car and walk around anyway. So, you know, I think that that's something that we need to also think about this holiday season. So I think I've exerted my time and said a whole lot. So I'm going to digress and allow somebody else to get on the airwaves. Adia.
Well, I was just going to say, as Feaster was talking, and I'm going to say this, I love when we can just basically just feed off of each other, and, you know, we're not even co-located together. So that is just amazing in and of itself. But as you were talking, one of the things that came to mind, you said that your family pray together. One of the things that me and my family started doing, I just love people by nature. And so when we lived in North Carolina, we'd never done this before, but we started just having like a Christmas get-together where we invited our family and friends over to the house and the day before Christmas, so Christmas Eve. And one of the things that we would do, my mom would read the story in Matthew about Christmas, and all of the kids would be in there, and all of the adults, and she would read that, and we would have prayer, and we would sing, you know, Christmas songs, Silent Night. And so that meant a lot to me. And so going home this Christmas, we're going to do that again. And we're going to just have people come over where we can fellowship. And at first when we did it, I was just like, people aren't going to come because it's the day before Christmas. But to know that people will come and fellowship with you to honor the Savior, that is the best gift that I could give people. And I love giving. It just warms my heart. But to know that when we did it the first time, people were asking, are y'all going to do this again this year? You know, John asked this year, are we going to do this again? And so we're planning on doing it again this year. It may not be full scale because I'm coming back from Kansas. However, this is a way that we can give and to know that we can share not just with our family, you know, with my husband and my children and my dad, but with our neighbors. They're going to be coming with other friends and family. They're going to come. So this is just a time for us to read the Word of God and to talk about the real reason why we celebrate Christmas, the real reason why we give gifts, because we understand in the Bible that they brought gifts to Jesus. Because he is the Son of God, and he is the greatest gift that was ever given to us. And so we don't want to lose perspective, and to know that we can give that same gift to our children, to know that we can share that with our neighbors so that when they leave our house, even though they brought gifts for their families and friends and the coworker, they can leave with a different perspective to know. This year the theme is The season why. That's the theme that I picked for this year. The season why we do what we do. Why do we buy gifts? Why do we go out of our way to show love for people that we haven't spoken to since, you know, in a couple of weeks or a couple of months or what have you? The season why is the theme that we're going to have this year. And so I was thinking about that as Feaster was talking, but I took it a step further. My friend posted a picture on Facebook of little bags that you can, the gallon-sized Ziploc bags. And so I put that on my Facebook page, and I told my children, we're going to do this year for Christmas. I'm going to go to the dollar store, and I'm going to get toothbrushes and some gloves and hat and socks and just any kind of little things that I can get that people can use. And we're going to bag those things up when I get home. I even got nice little Christmas bags. I had a coupon to save some money on them. And we're going to put that stuff in there, and we're going to go out into the different neighborhoods, and we're going to bless somebody, whether it's somebody that's on the street, whether we go down to the Salvation Army, but we're going to do that when we get home. These are small things that we can do for people. Sometimes we lose focus on gift ideas, which is our topic for today, but a gift idea is something as simple as going to the dollar store and getting a couple of things and just donate, giving them to people. Last year, I gave out some hats to a lady that works at one of the schools in one of the lowest poverty-stricken schools in Robinson County in North Carolina. And she came back and said those children were so happy to have those hats because their parents, for whatever reason, did not buy them or don't have the money to buy them. So this year, me and my children, we're going to be a blessing to some adults who don't have a toothbrush, who don't have toothpaste, who don't maybe have a pair of warm gloves. Those are gift ideas that we can do that go beyond just our family, but like Feaster said, that we can do for somebody else. Those are gift ideas that I know that we can all do that don't cost a lot of money. And you can even have other people donate, which I do have people that are going to donate money to help us do this. In addition to that, you know, I hope to be able to go and visit a nursing home. I have an aunt who's in a nursing home. I'm going to go visit her, and I may not be able to bring but a couple of little bags or something, but I want to go and be a blessing to those people. So gift ideas, to me, extend beyond my family. They extend beyond my coworkers, but they go to those who may not celebrate Christmas the way that I do because they don't have the money or they don't have family. Another idea I think is, you know, this year I said I'm going to put together a picture collage, and I did this a couple of years ago, where we're going to put together a picture collage of our family, and instead of spending a whole lot of money on buying Christmas cards, that picture of our family is going to go out in the mail to our family and friends. That is something that they can put in a frame. Now, frame is sold separately. Got to buy that yourself. But we can give that to our family and friends, and they can put it in a frame and hang us up in their house year-round, not just at Christmas. So those are the things that come to my mind when it comes to gift ideas, things that are practical, things that people can use, thinking outside of ourselves and being a blessing to other people, whether it be with a plate of food that you cooked, to that soldier that has staff duty on Christmas Day, or to the garbage man that picks up your trash every week or twice a week, to your hairdresser or your barber who cuts your hair and keep you fresh and clean and looking like a diva. You know, you can buy them. You know, I brought my hairstylist last year. I brought her a mirror because hers broke. And I got it on sale, and it didn't cost a lot. So that's just, I don't think I have anything else to say, at least for right now. I'm going to pass the mic to somebody else.
You know, one of the things I think was very interesting in Brother Feaster, and you talked about doing charity work. And, you know, so many churches and organizations around this holiday time, they do these, and we do these acts of kindness. We go to the Salvation Army. We do some of the things that you were saying that you were doing, that you did, Brother Feaster, and you said, and Sister Dea, individually. But we do these as organizations, right? Helping feed at the homeless shelter, or serving a turkey dinner, or providing food to the shelter, making Christmas baskets and holiday baskets, or sponsoring a family, or sponsoring a child. All those things, I never question the heart or the motive or the intent for any of us that engage in those, and I do the same thing. But what I am asking every one of us to do really is to reflect on something that's not just going to help right now during this holiday season.
Right.
But going back to what we brought up at the beginning of the show, the long-term effects.
Right.
Yes, as me and my church, me and my nonprofit organization, as we go to the House of Mercy and we go and we feed people who are not as fortunate or blessed as I am from a financial standpoint, they're going to remember that. I believe that the people there see us feeding them and serving them, and they remember that. And this is – so I'm not speaking against any of that. I'm not. But what I am trying to get across is this. I'm trying to say it so I don't really offend anybody. So, but what about after the holiday? What about January?
Right.
I'm from Philly. It's cold up there right now. My brother lives in Boston. It's even colder up there. So we can do something during the holiday season and during the holiday time, and those are great things, and we take nothing away from it. But if this thing has nothing to do with Jesus, meaning the holiday period, the December 25th, the gift-giving and buying stuff, if that's not the real reason behind it, I'm having a hard time believing that the reason for the season is only relegated to a couple of days in December. I think there's a lot more. I know that there's a lot more that we can do. But if you think about it, if you have 500 homeless people in your city, 500, those people who are homeless may go to these different locations and they're going to get fed. But if 15 different organizations are all doing that same type of thing, they can only eat but so much at that particular time, because where else do they have to go? So wouldn't it be a little bit smarter to say, you know what, Brother Feaster, your church says we're going to take care of them in the month of December. Sister Dia, your church, for example, says we're going to do something for them in the month of January. My church says we're going to do something in the month of February. And if we are all working towards continually doing some of these acts of kindness to some of these things like this, I am more than certain that it's not just going to bring long-term effects, but we'll have a more of an opportunity to witness the folk. People may say, you know what, why are y'all doing this? Which may open up an opportunity for me to share Christ verbally, even though I'm doing it from a physical perspective. We got a caller that's on the line. I'm going to be quiet. Caller with the last 4, 0945. I know I got you started. Welcome to the PRF table.
Good afternoon, everyone.
Hey there. How you doing this evening?
Doing all right. I was listening to the comments about the gift-giving ideas, and I have a around December, there are a lot of fires where people in apartment buildings get displaced, families displaced. Mm. So I have, during the year, I go to the different thrift stores and collect flannel sheets and blankets, and I put them to the side and put them in pillowcases. So when I hear about a family being displaced, I have, a couple of packets that I can, try to contact the Salvation Army to give to them.
Wow.
That seems to be a big time of year when there's, matter of fact, it was 2 weeks ago, I believe, and Christmas season hadn't really started, but it was because of fire that everybody in the apartment building got displaced. During school supplies, during the year, my children are grown and gone, but I still have a habit of collecting school supplies. So what I do around Christmas is whatever's left over, I put in little stockings, and I give to the Salvation Army. And you can do by non-gender, just put school supplies. So whatever school supplies I have accumulated out of habit, I donate them to the shelter. And I also have a United Way that I donate every month to the children's shelter for children of parents that are in shelters. So that's one of the things I do as an ongoing thing that I do.
Outstanding. I think that's great. You know, there's a and thank you so much, caller, for listening and for joining with us. You know what? Let me tell you what I like about the school supplies, Brother Feaster. A lot of times, especially us as organizations and churches, what do? We have these going back to school things, school drives, the radio station has anybody who has a child to come out there and give. But school goes all year round. So what our caller just said, I think that is just a wonderful and an excellent idea, because if people need it at the beginning of the year, what makes us think that there's people that don't need it during the middle of the year?
That's right.
I got a daughter in college. I promise you, what she gets at the beginning of the year for a scholarship, she's going to need some more money when it comes to the middle of the year, during that next semester. And I'm grateful that she doesn't have to beg, borrow, and steal to get that money for her scholarship, because it's coming during the middle of the year. So I just think that is relative. And you know what? This is in me, so I'm going to say it. What I hear us saying and what our callers said and callers are saying, it's not about bragging about the things that people are doing. It's really about sharing what is in our hearts about what God is doing through us for other people. You know, you talked about giving to the needy, Brother Feaster, and I'm going to press you on. I'm going to read the scripture first out of Matthew 6, but I'm going to press you on something in a minute. Matthew 6:6, matter of fact, talks about don't do your deeds publicly to be admired by others, for you'll lose the reward from your Father in heaven. When you give to someone in need, don't do as the hypocrites do, blowing trumpets in the synagogues and in the streets to call attention to their acts of charity. I tell you the truth, they have received all the reward they're ever going to get. But when you give to somebody in need, don't let the left hand know what your right hand is doing. Give your gifts in private, and your Father who sees everything will reward you. So think that this is Jesus talking about giving to the needy. We don't have to boast about all the things that we're doing, and I'm not implying that you or anybody else are. But sometimes when people hear those things, they may not understand why we're doing what we're doing. So it's up to us to be able to provide some type of witness about why we're doing what we're doing, so people can have an understanding that it's not about me showing off. Because in reality, the ones who do it and it's not in their heart, people see it and people recognize it. And you don't have to be a Christian to know that somebody's doing it for some reasons that are not genuine from the heart sometimes. One of the things that I did want to say is, Sister Dia, you talked about they brought gifts to Jesus, right? So here's what I would say is possibly another tip or an tip or an idea about gift giving. When they brought those gifts to Jesus, you know what they didn't? I'm going to take a stab at this. I really believe that when they brought those gifts to him, they didn't go into debt to bring those gifts.
All right now.
I really don't think, I'm taking a stretch because I wasn't there, but it doesn't say it in the pages of the scriptures, but I want to believe that the gifts that they brought, it wasn't about going into debt to bring a gift to someone else. So I'm telling you, if going into debt is part of the gift-giving process that an individual has, my suggestion is reevaluate and assess why you're doing what you're doing. Because after Black Friday and Cyber Monday comes bankruptcy February. And we talked about that 2 weeks on the show. And I'm dropping the mic.
Well, I'm going to pick it up and run with it. Because you're hitting me again. You're hitting me again. You're getting me in my heart. You're saying some things I'm real passionate about. I'm gonna pick up where you left off, and then I'm gonna back up. I am going to stand in total agreement with you that the gifts that Jesus received did not put the wise men in debt. I'm going to stand in total agreement with you. And the reason why I'm going to stand in total agreement with you is because there is no scripture reference to where God desires for us to go into debt to help somebody else out. And maybe I ain't read the whole Bible, even though I'm on my third time reading all the way through. I know I don't understand the whole Bible, whatever the case may be, but I really stand in agreement with you because that's not one of God's principles. His principle is because we understand it. We talked about this years, months ago. Debt is a type of bondage. And God is all about us being free and released from bondage. So I'm going to stand in agreement with you on that. And the other thing you said, you brought up Matthew chapter 6, where we talk about don't let your right hand know what your left hand is doing. Well, I'm going to let everybody know that the last caller was my mother. She's been my mother for over 40 years. And what she said that she does, I didn't even know. So that goes to the, you know, you don't have to broadcast it to everyone. You don't have to broadcast it. I'm her son, and I didn't even know that. Her firstborn, her only son. I'm building it up because, you know, that's my mom. But, you know, she didn't let me know. She didn't let us. I didn't know about this. And I'm not saying that she's obligated to tell me. I'm not even bent out of shape that she is because I didn't tell her what we did for Thanksgiving. So tit for tat if we want to go that way. But it's not about broadcasting it. It's not about saying, hey, everybody on the PRF table, everybody sitting down at the table, we want to let you know what the feasters are doing. Y'all taking notes? We're here. We're doing this. No, we're not saying it's about that. It's not about that at all. Because, and I think it's not in that scripture in Matthew 6, but the Bible tells us if you want your reward on earth, you'll get it on earth. So with that being said, if you want the accolades, God said, I'll give them to you. I'll give them to you. You want that pat on the back? You want people to know you? I'll give them to you if that's what you want. So a lot of times when we're doing these giftings and stuff like that, we're looking for that pat on the back. God has given it to us. He's given it to us. But, JR, you said something else, and I'll tell you, we must be sharing the brain tonight. That was my next point when I came back on, but you hit it so much. I just want to touch on it, to co-sign it, not like you need it, to co-sign it, and just say again, I'm in total support with it. But when you said that, you know, ain't but so much food those people can eat this time of the year, and they're going to be hungry again, I remember I was in one of my professional military training, and it was around this time of year. And the leader, the instructor came out and said, hey, you know, we want to see if y'all want to take up some money. You know, they take this money, they give it to the less fortunate people in the community, and, man, this one guy gave $20. I mean, the money was just flowing. And our class out of that group was the highest class. We gave the most money because one person was just that passionate about it that they really dug deep and gave a lot of money. But then there was one guy who got mad and did not give a penny, didn't budge, didn't move, and he had this look on his face like, I dare you to say something to me. And so he finally broke, I don't know if he told me by myself or he was telling a group or whatever, but he broke down why he didn't give money. And JR, this co-signs what you're saying. He said, I don't give money this time of year because growing up, I was that kid that around this time of year, everybody wanted to give me all this food and all this clothes and stuff. He said, but I was hungry more than once a year. Man, that hurt my own heart. Good God Almighty. He said, I was hungry more than once a year. So that got me thinking. And like I said, JR, I'm co-signing it. That got me thinking, and it's something that I keep saying I want to do, and I want to do, and I keep putting excuses in front of it. You know, and that's why I'm hurting right now. I keep putting excuses in front of it. You know, what about, forget January and February and March, what about July? When we're all thinking about summertime, we forgot about them. You know, yes, this is a good season to get started. We don't have to stop. We don't have to stop. You know, so I think that as we talk about gift giving and we talk about this season of giving, you know, there are a lot of other things that we can do. We don't have to go in debt. The Christmas party, that's fine. Go ahead and give a gift. Your neighbor, that's fine. Go ahead and give a gift. Those coworkers, that's fine. Go ahead and give a gift. Those children ain't going to use half the gifts you give them anyway. You know, your spouse, they're not going to pay attention to what you give them anyway. Because if it's really done in love, like I said, I got nothing last year, and I was just as happy. You know why I was happy? My gift was I was able to take leave, get in my car, drive to Tennessee, see my wife, my son, and my daughter open their presents. And truth be told, 95% of the presents they opened, it was the first time I saw them too.
Wow. Well, You're listening to the PRF Table. We are talking about gift-giving ideas, Brother Feaster, Brother Dunlap, Sister Sanders. And for those of you who may have just joined or have joined since we mentioned this, this is our anniversary show. Yesterday, December 4th, was the one-year anniversary of the PRF Table. So we want to also say once again thank you to all the listeners, about 17,000 of you who have listened to the PRF Table and all the various shows and all the different topics. And we want to thank all of those who have called in as callers and all of those who have been gracious enough to bless us by being guests on the show with us. And we'll do a little bit more throughout the rest of the month about speaking specifically about certain individuals who have just gone above and beyond to help make this show the success of what it is. So we got a few minutes left in the show, Brother Feaster and Sister Sanders. And we're going to press in because we provided some very good gift-giving ideas. We provided a couple of tips. You know, a couple of things I will add also is don't get overwhelmed with having to buy gifts. And we'll post all these on the web, on the PRF page, on the Facebook as well. Don't spend money that you don't have right now, especially money that you don't have a solid plan on repaying if you use credit. But I wanted to go here because a lot of what we have been talking about is not the traditional, and that's just what we are, the way we are at the PRF Table. We're not talking about all the traditional things. And Brother Feaster, Sister Sanders, you know, for probably the first 6 weeks of us having this show, we probably didn't even talk about money. So it's not all about money. It's not about the physical things. We're interested a lot about what are you doing? What kind of giving are you doing from your heart? What is the long-term effects where somebody can think about something that you gave and have those tears coming down when you go into your kitchen? Those are the things that we think are meaningful, and that doesn't take away anything because from the physical gift that you may receive. You know, you send me a laptop for Christmas, dear, I'm going to take it, I promise you. But I want to read something from one of our listeners who couldn't be with us tonight. And when they saw this, the post that we put on the page that talked about, this is what we're talking about, gift-giving ideas. Listen to this suggestion. Well, let me read the testimonial. The testimonial first. The testimonial was this. My sister died last year of an acute renal failure, leaving a 5-year-old to be raised. She was not a candidate for kidney transplant surgery due to her insurance coverage. My insurance will remove my kidney, but her insurance would not pay for it to be transplanted into her. I was more than willing to give my sister one of my kidneys, and in parentheses she puts, decent and affordable health care for everyone. And then she asks the question. She says, what about to a stranger? Was I willing to give a stranger another chance at life? Now I am very proud to say that I am an active person on the bone marrow transplant registry. Jesus shed his blood for us so that we may have eternal life. Let us be Christ-like and share life with others during this Christmas season. And so here was her suggestion. And I think this is probably going to bring chills to some of you because it did as I read it the first time. Her gift-giving idea was, or is, sign up to be an organ donor, a gift that is free and priceless at the same time. It costs you nothing, but it's priceless to someone who is in need of a heart, a lung, a kidney, or other organ. Donate blood. Be sure to donate to the American Red Cross rather than selling your blood to blood banks. You may not be aware that blood banks sell their blood and Red Cross does not. Giving blood is just like giving life to another person. I think that about the time that I decided, I thought about that, about the time that I decided to be an organ donor. My daughter was 3 years old, and it crossed my mind that if she would ever need an organ, that I would gladly give her mine. I thought of the many parents who had children on the waiting list for donor organs, and it was an easy decision for me to just check the box on my driver's license application to become a donor. So I did, and that was 25 years ago. Man, how powerful is that? If that doesn't make, well, let me say, if that shouldn't make some folks stay up out of the source to go out and buy a bunch of stuff when you hear stuff like this, I don't know what it's going to take, y'all. I don't know what it's going to take.
I definitely agree with you.
Let me give you another one, and I'm not doing anything intentional to leave us on a somber note. This is some stuff that we need to think about as people, as believers. A couple of weeks ago, the week before Thanksgiving, there was a young lady who sent me a text, and I'm sure she sent it to other folks, who has a nonprofit up in Atlanta, Georgia. And she was telling me about a young child, 4 years old, that choked on a hot dog and never gained consciousness again. His four-year-old father, who was raising her, did not have life insurance. So right before the Thanksgiving holiday, in addition to having to think about burying their child, who also had other siblings, and what type of effect do you think that had on the other siblings of the child who is no longer here? But to have to think about that. So what she did was she was reaching out to folks to help raise money or for us to give money so that the funeral bill could be paid. To take one thing of stress off of that father, off of that family. The bill that was left was $900 and something. And I tried to get her on the show on the last show, but it didn't work out. And I thought about, that's not a lot of money for a city as big as Atlanta. But it only is in the heart of those who are willing to give. And here's what I'm going to throw out there as my last point, and I'm pretty much done for the night, y'all. If you have children, especially, or you yourself do not have life insurance, and something happens to you, you have to know that somebody who you leave behind is going to have to give something to the funeral home director in order to put you in the ground. Yes, there may be some programs out there that can help, but generally speaking, so many people in our churches don't have life insurance. We shouldn't have to pass the offering plate, especially for young folk. Now, I'm hitting us. If you 20, 30, 40 years old, and you're not trying to have life insurance, when you get to be 50 and 60, the price of a policy increases dramatically because the older we get, generally speaking, different things happen to our bodies. So that's my two gift-giving ideas. One of them was definitely not for me. It was from a caller or one of our listeners about being an organ donor and checking and making sure that you have some type of life insurance policy to be able to take care of those final things that have to occur after you check out or after God calls you home.
Go ahead, Paula. That's very interesting about life insurance because I'm surrounded by people who are not insured. And it's so baffling to me because death is inevitable, and that would be a great gift. Listening to your comment, are you suggesting that you purchase the initial policy or make the initial payment or – because insurance is quite expensive, so it wouldn't be feasible for me to purchase a year's policy for someone. Or, I mean, would it be, I would say, would it be wise to purchase the policy and give it to that person so that they can continue with the premiums?
You know what? That is an option. You can get the policy. You can be the purchaser or the owner of that policy And you can give it to the person for them, as you said, to continue on with the premiums. But guess what? Maybe that person cannot afford $75 a month for life insurance.
Right.
So guess what? Maybe you can pay $35 and they can pay $35.
True.
I'm bringing this up because here's what I see. There is so much money that was just spent on stuff. Let me tell you what just happened this year. $57.4 billion was spent this year over the 4 days over the holidays for Thanksgiving. $57.4 billion at stores and websites. And this dropped 2.9% from last year.
Wow.
So really what we're talking about is priorities.
Exactly.
I'm not downing anybody. I'm bringing it up saying, hey, we need to be thinking about this. Because as a minister, I have a good friend of mine that just buried his wife today. The fact that she fell, broke her neck, had a traumatic brain injury, and never regained consciousness from 3 o'clock in the morning on Thanksgiving Day is enough to already be thinking about, especially with a young child who's a senior in high school, that mom is not going to get a chance to see her walk across the stage when graduation time comes.
Right.
So for him, which this is not the case, but it would be a sad thing for him to be having to worry about funeral expenses, another debt. Let me say this. When my father passed away, his wife came to me the night at 5 o'clock in the afternoon saying the funeral home is not going to bury my father the next day because they didn't have the money. Who wants to deal with stuff like that? So for me, these are opportunities that I'm putting out there. You bring up a good point, Paula. You can buy it and give it to the next person. Say, hey, can you take care of this? And if they can't, what can I do to help? I would rather do that than have somebody having to worry about a $10,000 because the average cost of a funeral is $7,000 to $10,000.
Wow.
I'd like to add, too, Nate, just even talking about that, you know, my mom, she was on a fixed income. And so one of the things that I said that I was going to do to help my mom out is even though she's, you know, she died back in August, I still paid her house insurance because that's something that she left behind for us. And so there are definitely things, and I think what you said that was key was our priorities. Because if it's important for us to go out there and spend a whole bunch of money on stuff that kids are only going to play for, you know, when they remember or when you tell them to go in their room and play with the toys that they got, then surely we can sacrifice, if that's what it is for us at that time, sacrifice to pay, you know, $60-something dollars a month for housing, you know, to have for your house to be insured or for life insurance. Because I will say this, that there are different things out there. If you do the research and homework, there are a lot of programs out there that are not as expensive as a lot of people think. They're really not. When you look at your term and your life insurance, term versus whole life insurance, and don't want to go down that hole, but definitely when we're looking at how can we help somebody beyond after December 25th, when the next year rolls around, that is definitely a way. But I think what you said that is so key is our priorities. Where are our priorities? Does it matter to us, or will it matter to us when that family member comes up to us to say, hey, I need the money to do X, Y, and Z, or this isn't going to happen? Do we pay now or do we pay later? Because the cost later might be greater.
That's right.
I think Feaster has something.
Okay. Yeah, I was going to say that, you know, when Paula brought up about, you know, the policy, I think a lot of times just taking them to the place and showing them about the policy may be a gift also, because most people say they can't afford it and have no idea how much it even costs.
Mm-hmm.
That's right.
And so a lot of times the gift could simply just be taking them to the life insurance agent and sitting down with them and drafting up a policy. And then maybe the second gift is, now let's go talk to the budget manager, you know? So it could be, you know, one of those things. And I've enjoyed this tonight because we've talked about the non-traditional things. And I think a lot of times it's the non-traditional things that we do that really stand the test of time, that really makes a difference, that makes the impact. This season is all about making an impact. This season is all about making a difference. We as Christians are celebrating the birth of Christ. He made an impact, and he made a difference. So I like this, and I'm challenging everyone as I'm challenging myself that as we go into this season and we're purchasing these gifts, that we remember what we're doing, why we're doing it, and I'm challenging everyone to do something traditional unto what the reason of the season and not as to what society is saying. Those are my comments. Thank you very much. God bless you all.
And again, we thank everybody once again for just laboring with us in love over this past year. 17,000 listeners on the PRF table is a tremendous feat. We didn't have a goal set in our minds, but to go back and look at the numbers and see that many people who have had a seat at the table in various different forms and are listening to what God is saying through us, it is an honor and a pleasure. So my hat's off to everybody that's listening now and those who will be listening later on the archives. And we ask, please go post some comments on the Facebook page, possessions.resources.finances on Facebook. Let us know what you think. Let us know how what God has used us to do has blessed you and all of that good stuff. We just really want to hear your comments and what can we do as host of this show to take it to the next level and to do greater and greater things in 2014. So as we get ready to close out the show, let me just leave with two things. The first thing I want to do is also leave a scripture from Matthew chapter 6. I just can't get away with it and away from it. In verse 19, 20, and 21 says this, "Don't store up treasures here on earth, where moths eat them and rust destroy them, and where thieves break in and steal. Store your treasures in heaven where moths and rust cannot destroy, and thieves do not break in and steal. Wherever your treasure is, there the desires of your heart will be also." And for those of you who do not know, President Nelson Mandela has gone on from this life to the next, and I want to just read one of the quotes that he said in his honor. He says, "Overcoming poverty is not a task of charity. It is an act of justice. Like slavery and apartheid, poverty is natural, not natural. It is a man-made thing, and it can only be overcome and eradicated by the actions of human beings. Sometimes it falls on a generation to be great. You can be that next generation. Let your greatness blossom." Nelson Mandela. So until next week on the PRF table, we say God bless you. Have a wonderful, wonderful week. Do great things. And until we see you next time, we love you. Have a good night.
Good night. Everything you give to me, read my mind and make me feel just fine. When I think my peace of mind is out of reach, the scales are sometimes unbalanced, and you bear the weight of all that has to be. I hope you see that you can lean on me, and together we can calm the stormy sea. Yes, I
a bar, so I tell you no.